Turn with me, if you would, to the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 5. Let us pray as we approach God's Word. Lord God, we are so thankful for your Word today, thankful that you speak to us even in this waiting time. For though you are in heaven with the right hand of the Father, your Spirit is here to guide us and to speak new life into these Scriptures. And so help our waiting not to be wasted time, but to be time that we use serving you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "For these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So time has really changed for me as an adult. When I was a little boy, I once went to my grandmother's house, and there was an electric clock, electric alarm clock, that sat next to the bed that I slept in. And I can remember at night not being able to go to sleep and just watching that clock go round and round and round. And time was different for me then. And then there was one day with my grandmother when we were waiting for someone or something, and she said, "Morgan, it's just going to be 5 minutes. We just got to wait for 5 minutes. So be patient. It's just going to be 5 minutes." And I thought, oh boy, that is forever. 5 minutes. A 5 minute wait might as well have been an hour to me. And I thought I knew that it was short for her somehow, though. I knew that somehow 5 minutes didn't last as long to her. That 5 minutes seemed to last forever for me. After asking her, "Has it been 5 minutes?" about 10 times, and it still wasn't 5 minutes yet, she said, "You know, when you get to be my age, time passes a lot faster than it did when I was your age." That was curious to me. I was a little bit like the character of Sheldon on the Big Bang Theory, and I thought, well, all the clocks go around at the same speed, right? How is this that time is different from her? But it is. Time is different for everybody, right? Well, wrong. The older we get, the faster the minutes, the hours, and the days pass. Scientists say this is because our brains change over the years, but time doesn't change, right? We do experience time differently. Days and years, as we get older, days and years pass really fast. I was thinking about something the other day with the kids, and I realized, as I thought about it, that was 2 years ago. Where did 2 years go? Time flies. Jesus understood this about the future for us, especially as it relates to time. Our faith in the risen Lord is based on our trust that the Lord is coming back. And to go along with that, we understand that we don't know the date. And Jesus told us not even the Son knows the date. So this leaves us in a kind of time in between the times. We're waiting for Jesus to come back, but there's nothing we can do to bring him back. But we are called in this time to do something. Jesus knows this and tries to address this with his disciples in the text we have today. He tries to give us hints about how we might know that he's coming, though. It's the usual things: war, earthquakes, people being sick and hungry, and scary signs. That sounds like our times. But then again, that sounded like their times. And that sounds a lot like all of human history, doesn't it? Think about the Middle Ages with the plague and wars all over the place. They probably thought Jesus was coming back right then. And they probably hoped for it desperately that he would fix all of that. On the other hand, many people have tried to bring about Jesus' return. They've tried to start wars, like the Crusades in the year 1000, sometime around the year 1000. Those were the hopes that Jesus was coming back, and we could make that happen. And it makes many people think that war is inevitable. But we should try peace. Just because there are wars and rumors of war, and because peace has never been on this earth, that does not mean that Jesus doesn't want us to try for peace. Jesus wants us to be peacemakers and not to live with that kind of inevitability, or with disease. Jesus wants us to heal disease. Just because it's going to be present at the end of time does not mean that we should not work to cure diseases, plagues today. Despite all this, over the centuries since Jesus made this prophecy, he's still at the right hand of the Father today. And so what do we have to do? We have to learn how to wait. And waiting is tough. Waiting is not easy. And how we choose to wait is important to the ministry that Christ is giving us. First, we can wait like he says to do in this passage, to give witness to everyone about his presence and power through the Spirit today. Listen to what he says. Don't worry about what you're going to say when you talk about him and spread his message. Just be natural. People spend a lot of time thinking about what am I going to do and say if I'm going to talk to someone about Jesus, to someone about my faith. Well, Jesus has the answer. Be natural. Naturally share what Christ has done for you and what Christ means to you. Don't share in a way that you have planned. Because every person is different and every situation is different. So share the gospel in a way that the person will be able to hear. And it may be that sometimes that's not with words, but that's with deeds or with your presence. And then they can ask you, how is it that you are like you are? Jesus also reminds us that not everyone is going to agree with what we say, and that's okay. In fact, those are the people who may need your ministry the most. You may not be in front of kings, emperors, rulers, like the disciples will be in the book of Acts. He's talking to them right now. But your neighbor and your friends are as important as any Roman emperor. Sharing the gospel with them is just as important. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Fear not. Your faith is what makes you strong, and Christ's gift of grace to us. Your loving sharing in words and in deeds is what matters. And Jesus also promises something more. If you know that your eternal existence is assured, then you don't have to fear so much for your life or how you look or how people are going to receive you. And notice what he says. On the one hand, death might happen to you in life. But on the other hand, not one hair of your head will be harmed. In the things that matter, in the eternal things, and in our soul, in who we really are, in the lasting part of us that's even here now, that's even in our bodies now, that will live forever. And so we should begin to live like that from day to day. That salvation has started now. That faith begins now. That life begins now. And that we can share that. At the same time, Jesus also tells us that the key to this issue is endurance. Life is not a sprint. A sprint is over quickly and you use all the gas that you have. Life is more like a marathon, taking one step at a time, one moment at a time, and enduring each and every day. Waiting for Jesus in that way, in endurance, is what we do. What Jesus is saying is that once he's dead and resurrected and ascended, there's still lots of work to be done. And the church is here, God's people are here to do that work every day. Some people over the years in the church, particularly the church at Thessalonica, when they heard this message, they thought that nothing mattered. The end is coming, and so we can do whatever we want. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You've heard this saying. That is a mistake. It's not true. Living that way is not how Christ wants us to live. Just because the end is coming and we don't know when it is, it gives us more responsibility to live well and live correctly, not less. Some have also mistakenly thought, well, it's been 2,000 years and Jesus hasn't shown up yet, so I give up on his return. He must not ever be coming back. But we should wait in a different way than that. Jesus is coming back, we just don't know when. The kingdom will come to fulfillment, we just don't know when. And so we should live lives that believe in the kingdom and show people what the kingdom is going to look like. The first four verses of this chapter are awesome verses. It's a very simple story in chapter 21. I want to read it to you right now. He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live." Jesus and his disciples are making a tour of the temple. This discussion about the temple being torn down and destroyed would come true in sometime around 69 or 70 AD. And the Romans would do it. But there were eternal things happening in that same temple that day, and Jesus points them out. If we want to wait in a way that God wants us to wait, we should be more like the woman in this story. We should wait like she waits. She takes two coins and gives them to the Lord. These two copper coins are all that she has. She gave God everything she had, and she gave out of her poverty, not out of her wealth. But she was all in for the Lord. She put in everything she had for God, not just into the offering, but she put in everything she had into her life. Jesus said her two coins added up to all the coins of all the rich people that were there that day. Jesus doesn't need you to grow rich or get retired or find some free time or get an inheritance. Jesus wants you all in now. Your whole life. That's how we wait for the Lord, is to be all in now. The first is to be in all in financially, to spread God's message through the tool of money. If we want to do more and more ministry here at this church, money is one of the ways that we share that. Do as much as you can right now. Don't be on the sidelines. Don't just give to the church, give to the needs of the world, especially to the needs of the poor. But don't be on the sidelines financially. Be all in. Second, be all in with your time. You can be and act like a Christian 24 hours a day. It's tempting to play a Christian at church for an hour a week, a little bit like pastors who only work an hour a week. It's tempting to do that, to play a Christian at church, but every moment of life is an opportunity to live faith. You don't need to be inside the doors of the church to be a Christian and to live out your faith in the community. If we're waiting, we know that we're not wasting our time, because we can help others. And time is the asset that we have that you can't get more of. You can make more money, but you cannot make more time. Whatever time you have is constantly running out. You can't get the clocks to run backward, only forward. So don't waste a moment. Use the time that you have, this time when we wait for Christ, as every second being valuable. The third, be all in with your gifts, both natural and spiritual. We all have some natural gifts in some way. There are many things in this life that are just are natural gifts. Maybe a skill you've learned even. Something that you're able to do and you've learned to do. You can share those things with the world. But while you're all in, you can also be all in with your spiritual gifts. Listed in places like Romans 12, or things like the gift of teaching or generosity. And through those gifts, in Galatians, Paul talks about bearing fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, those things. Don't waste your gifts. Be all in with your gifts because Christ has given them to you. Don't waste a moment of your life. I want to go back to the story of my grandmother, the one that I was telling you earlier. I'm thankful for the time that we had in this life. 15 years later, for her, time began to disappear. She would have trouble remembering what we had just talked about. And it got worse from there. My experiences then were to stay with her. The importance of her faith, the heritage of the Scriptures, and knowing that every moment was important for faith is what she shared with me. During the moments that she had, she passed on belief in Christ. Living this way was important for life and the future, for what she handed on. And I wouldn't trade that 5 minutes, that super long 5 minutes, for anything in the world. I only wish it could have been longer. That's how you wait for Jesus. Make every moment of the day matter for Him. Make everything you do an opportunity to give testimony to what He has done, through your words, through your deeds, and through every moment that you wait. Let us pray. Lord God, in this in-between time, as we wait for You, help us not to waste a moment of the time You give us, but instead, to be all in for You, in our gifts, in our time, in our life, in our money, everything that we have. May we be all in for You, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.